From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. Our Critics' Choice series continues today with a look at the year in classical music and opera. First, though, the final installment of Generation One, a project of KERA's American Graduate Initiative. The 2010 U.S. Religion Census said more Muslims live in this state than in any other. You see that in school hallways across North Texas. Stella Chavez visited Liberty High School in Frisco and met an American-born teenager who's decided to wear a hijab.
Iram Ali wrestled with the decision for months.
When I was considering starting, there were not many Muslims at my school. I felt like people would judge me. And so I went through a lot of internal, whether I should do it or not.
She was at our mosque one night a little more than a year ago when the idea to wear the traditional headscarf crystallized.
I came home after prayer and I was wearing it and I was just you know what? I'm not going to take it off. I can take it. And so that was the day.
It was Eid al-Fitr, the Muslim holiday marking the end of Ramadan. Iram's mother, Farida Ali, said she was caught off guard because no one else in the immediate family wears a hijab.
I think I was worried about it because she was very young when she decided this. And once you start this, you're not supposed to take off. So this is the main thinking in my mind that, she's too young, 16 years old. And I don't know why she's doing this. I hope she knows about the meaning.
Iram's parents were born in Karachi, Pakistan. Mom covers her hair when she visits the Frisco Mosque and prays five times a day. Wearing the hijab, she says, is a very personal decision. For Iram, who's a 17-year-old senior at Liberty, it's a symbol of modesty, something she says is undervalued in today's culture.
And I feel like it's important because my life has completely changed ever since I started covering my hair. People take me more seriously. People listen to what I have to say.
Still, it can be hard to make a first impression, so she's found ways to combat that.
I carry myself in a much different way. Now, I wasn't a sad person or anything, but just walking down the hall, I wouldn't smile, I would slouch, I would hold my stuff, I would only talk to the people that I was friends with.
Jay Summers is the student council sponsor and world history teacher.
She's just another student here at Liberty. She's another red hot. If anything, it's an advantage to her because it provides her a more worldly view. And there are plenty of other students here that wear the hijab and their traditional cultural attire.
And Iram has a sense of humor, too, not to mention school spirit. Last spring, she showed up at a baseball game as Rocky the Red Hawk, the school's mascot.
A lot of people have, I don't want to say judgments, but ideas that she covers her hair, she can't be a mascot, she covers her hair, she won't put herself out there, she's timid, and I'm really not. I'm really outgoing, and I'm very social.
Summers asked Iram if being a mascot interfered with her religion. She told him it didn't. Iram's used to role-playing.
I think distinctly hard to say, but harder still to do. Will meet a tattoo at 20 till 2. A rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat.
Theater class at Liberty. Iram and her classmates are doing vocal warm-ups for the school production of Les Miserables. Iram's been in theater since sixth grade. She prefers being backstage, working on lighting and props. On this day, she stands in as a factory worker.
Okay, I messed up. I skipped the whole part.
All right. About 200,000 Muslims live in North Texas, and the change is easy to see in Frisco. 20 years ago, fewer than 1% of students were Asian. Today, 14% are. Summers, Iram's teacher, says that ethnic mix of students is an advantage in the classroom.
It's awesome because I've got kids from all over the world in class, from China or India, Pakistan, lots of Iranian kids, Russians. They help me teach the content. They help me teach the other kids about their cultures.
James Caldwell, the student assistance coordinator at Liberty, says today's kids seem more open-minded about other cultures. Still, there are challenges.
We know some of our students who are Muslim are bullied for wearing clothes that are not typical of a lot of the kids at their school.
Frisco High Schools tackle bullying by setting aside half an hour a month for teachers and students to talk about the climate there. Outside school, Iram says she's felt the sting of racism. At Liberty, though, she hasn't been bullied. At first, some kids didn't recognize her in a hijab. They were used to seeing her big curly hair. Now, it's no big deal.
I'm like what a regular Muslim is. I'm a real Muslim, and it makes me happy that I can like show that and maybe change some people's views on Islam.
In the meantime, she's focused on just being a senior.
Oh my gosh, student council is so much fun. We do majority of the planning, like homecoming and like prom, and we make posters for different games.
And 5 months from now, she'll be walking across the stage wearing a hijab and carrying a diploma. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
You can see a video of Irem and catch up on the entire series at generation1.kera.org. It's all part of KERA's American Graduate Initiative. Now we'll look back at the best moments in the classical music halls of North Texas this year in our Critics' Choice series. Scott Cantrell from the Dallas Morning News tells Arden Seek's Anne Bothwell it's been a spectacular year for the Dallas Symphony Orchestra.
Scott Cantrell, welcome to the KERA Newsroom.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Let's start with the Dallas Symphony Orchestra. You have written many glowing reviews of the orchestra's performance and of Jaap van Zweden this year. Tell me some of the highlights.
The one with Jaap was an all Beethoven concert, including the Fifth Symphony, the most stunning performance of the piece I've ever heard. Alex Carr, the concertmaster, and Alyssa Weilerstein, the cellist, and the pianist Martin Helmsen, they even made the triple concerto, which is a pretty dippy piece, sound like worth listening to. But there was also the incredible concert where the assistant, Karina Kanellakis, substituted on a day's notice for Jaap on a program including the Shostakovich Eighth Symphony, a formidable work for any conductor. And she was absolutely in command of it every second.
So there have also been reports this year of tensions between the players and van Zweden. Is that having an impact?
You know, I think the situation is not out of control. It's soluble. And in fact, I've heard that things have been better over the fall than they were over the summer.
Turning to opera, what were some of your highlights this year?
I think that the two new operas were the compelling stories. The Dallas Opera did this sci-fi opera by Todd Machover called Death and the Powers.
I am a producer, and business is my wares. Ladies with software, hardware, hardware, warware, peaceware, or you might call it beingware. Some call it fantasy.
If you're not into sci-fi, the story may be a little hokey, but then so are most opera librettos. But it certainly pushed all sorts of envelopes and was technologically very sophisticated.
This was the robot opera.
Right, yeah. And the robots were strangely adorable.
Any new faces or talent that we should be watching for?
Well, this was a year for amazing debuts by three young conductors. Andres Franco, who has been the assistant of the Fort Worth Symphony, is no longer, although he retains a relationship with them. Did his first main season performance with them and had that orchestra playing on a level of finesse and elegance that I'd never heard from him. It's a very good orchestra, but he brought this whole new level of suavity to the performance. And I mentioned Karina Kanellakis substituting on a day's notice for Jaap on a very difficult program. And the third one I would mention was Michelle Merrill, who substituted for Paul Phillips with the Meadow Symphony when Paul was called in to substitute for Jaap on another concert. She was a protege of Paul's and conducted another very difficult Shostakovich Symphony, the Fourth, with real authority. So those were three very impressive conductor debuts here.
Scott Cantrell, thank you so much for coming by the KERA Newsroom.
Thank you, Anne.